Welcome to the Center of Everywhere podcast, where we explore stories of rural Minnesotans who are making a difference in their communities. Rural isn't in the middle of nowhere. It is in the center of everywhere.
And welcome to the Center of Everywhere podcast. I'm Kelly Ash, senior researcher at the Center for Rural Policy and Development. We are a private, nonpartisan, nonprofit organization based in rural Minnesota, where we are dedicated to providing data-driven research on rural issues to help our policymakers make more informed decisions affecting the rural people and places of our state. A few weeks ago, the Center released its report exploring migration trends and coming to the conclusion that Minnesota as a state needs to invest in initiatives that lean into recruiting and retaining residents all across the state. In this episode, we are talking to Eric Osberg, Rural Rebound Coordinator for Otter Tail County, who focuses on just that, recruiting and retaining people in the county. Thanks for joining me, Eric. I appreciate your time.
Thanks for having me.
So, Eric, Otter Tail County, you guys have been in Star Tribune. You know, a lot of folks are looking at your county as kind of a leading example of maybe what some of our counties and regions could be doing. Could you explain a little bit, how did the county get to this position and be like, yeah, we're going to create this position and we're going to invest in something like this?
Yeah, I can explain that. So in your introduction, you had mentioned data-driven, right? Like that's part of your guys' work is data-driven decisions. And so my current boss, Nick Leonard, who's now the co-county administrator, he was exposed to Ben Winchester at a conference. Ben Winchester, his research, the brain gain. And so he was exposed to Ben's research at a conference. And there at the time, this was like 2015, 2016-ish when Nick was introduced to Ben's work. And so like many folks, Nick was influenced by it, right? It kind of changed his perceptions of what was going on. And so Nick started to meet with local stakeholders in Otter Tail County, most specifically Fergus Falls. And with the projections from the state demographers, we knew that the workforce numbers were going to go down just for the simple aging of the workforce, right? So again, this is 2015, 2016. And so Nick asked those stakeholders, okay, what do you guys want to do? Do you want to take a short-term approach? Like, are we going to fly in people from somewhere else to take, you know, like literally everything is on the table. Do you want to take a short-term approach? Do we need to fix it right now? Or do we want to try to take a long-term approach? And the response he got from the stakeholders was long-term. And so Nick, again, super smart guy, he started to put together, so he started seeking grant funding. So he got grant funding from the Blandon Foundation and the Otto Bremer Trust and the Vidine Trust and West Central Initiative and the Fergus Falls Economic Improvement Commission. And he basically created a pool of resources. I believe he was able to get about $200,000 in grants. That's a ballpark number. And then they started advertising for the position. I say this all the time, but I can remember when I interviewed, I said, okay, if I get the gig. So in the beginning, it was a short-term gig, right? We've got 2 years of funding. And I, by the way, I didn't get the whole 200, right? Like there was other dollar, you know, like my salary wasn't $100,000 a year. In the interview, I said, are you guys going to hand me a training manual that says, here's step one, here's step two, here's step three, or are you going to hand me a piece of paper and a pencil and we kind of figure this out? And they were like, well, piece of paper and a pencil. So kudos, you know, so the position is based off of the research of Ben Winchester. It's based off of the vision of Nick Leonard, and it's based off of the early on grant support of all of these organizations that helped fund it.
And so kind of started out as a pilot. Now the county has kind of those grants. He's probably still relying on some grants, but the county itself now has thrown quite a bit of money into this pot as well. Is that correct?
That is correct. So my position was grant funded for 2 years. And at the end of the 2 years, evidently we had done enough, you know, good things that the county board decided, you know what, we should add this position to the payroll. And so now my work is completely funded, you know, by Otter Tail County itself.
Okay, great. And so you got the paper and pencil. County said, go, create some. What'd you focus on first?
So I focused on, and I hope everybody knows who Ben Winchester is, because it's cooler if you do, but what would Ben Winchester do, right? So like one of the first thing I did is I went and listened to Ben Winchester present, right? So I got it straight from the horse's mouth, so to speak, about his research. And then I did a ton of other, I'm doing air, you know, air quotes research. I tried to absorb as much as I, you know, for about a month. Like for a month, I didn't do anything other than research, if that makes sense, right? Like there was no public facing efforts. It was all just, okay, we need to, you know, if we're going to try to solve a problem, the first thing you do is you try to quantify the problem, right? And so we spent the first month behind the scenes, and I just tried to dive as deep down the rural narrative rabbit hole as I could. And like there was, I stumbled into a TED talk, a YouTube video from a mayor from Auckland, New Zealand. And the things that he was talking about in Auckland, New Zealand were exactly the same things that we were talking about in Western Minnesota. And so it seemed like a universal issue that knew no borders, right? Like how do we, it had a lot to do with our young people, right? Like how do we communicate with our young people about opportunities and places? And then how do we communicate with the world about our rural place? And so that was what I focused on first, was studying the issue. And then once we felt like we understood it, then we started to attack it.
And what were some of those first programming attacks that you decided to push forward?
Well, one of the first things that we decided, that in the term that we use a lot in the office is intent and effort, intent and effort. So everything that we do has intent. And one of the first things we did was we didn't start a new brand. We didn't start a new website. We didn't create a new logo. I was in a very fortunate situation. Otter Tail Lakes Country Association, which is a different entity than the county. Otter Tail Lakes Country Association, nonprofit, kind of a chamber for the county, member driven. They already had a good start with their tourism messaging. They had a brand, they had a platform, they had a whatever. And so again, based on the research, and this research is more attributed to Explore Minnesota Tourism's halo effect research, rather than start a new thing, we just decided to integrate our messaging into our tourism brand, right? So it's you know, visit, and or, you know, if you're thinking of a cadence or a pace of our messaging, visit, live, work. Visit, live, work. Visit, you know, and so we started to build this repetition-based model of communicating with the outside world on the internet. We use a lot of social, we use a lot of digital, we use a lot of web, whatever. So digitally communicating with the world about our place and using tourism as a first date to living here. And so that's, so when you said, you know, what did you first do? We just kind of plugged our messaging into that already existing platform, or platforms or megaphone. We picked up the megaphone and just started screaming into it, I guess is the best way I could describe it.
And you guys have been going at this since, so 2017 is kind of when you started
rolling with this. Yep.
Done a lot of work. I've seen you guys all over the place. You got videos, you got interviews, you got some personal programming that are trying to just connect people to people. What is, like, if in a nutshell, or maybe not in a nutshell, maybe a list of, like, what's all the things that you guys are doing now today?
So a lot of it is, so, and again, when I first started, and I still ask myself this question, what would Ben Winchester do? What I heard Ben Winchester, the thing I took, I mean, I took a lot away from Ben's research, but mostly was, he called it rewriting the rural narrative, right? And so our first and foremost, our job each and every single day is to write our own narrative. Like I in today's, the parlance of our times, with the access to digital messaging systems, we can write our own narrative, right? And so most of our efforts are centered in that. And writing your own narrative looks different in 2025 than it did in 2010, right? Like funny thing is it might kind of be going back to what it used to look like, right? But you know, there's a saying that a picture is worth a thousand words. So we use a lot of imagery, and you had mentioned videos, right? And even videos have changed over the last, you know, since I started, right? Like it used to be, if you were good at producing a 3-minute video based on the platforms that you were putting it out on, you were winning. Well, now you got to be good at producing a 7-second video, right? And it's got to look different and feel. So a lot of what we do is just creating content that is intended to give the audience a positive perception of our place. And then back to your other point, at the same time, what we call creating transformative experiences that are individualized for one at a time, right? Like we have this mass communication effort, and then we have this one at a time effort. And what that's looked like most recently is, and this is a whole different story, so I'll try to sum it up quickly. We partner with the University of Minnesota Athletics Department, the Gophers, and we try to create transformative experiences for students and especially student athletes. There's 500 student athletes at the University of Minnesota, and one of them's going to go pro. The other, and I'm making that number up, let's, you know, to make a point, 499 going to need a job. And there's no reason, whether they're an engineer major, an education major, or whatever their major is, there's no reason they can't consider Otter Tail County as their first stop after graduation. And so we quite literally bring students to Otter Tail County individually and show them around and show them a good time and at least plant the seed of what rural life could look like. And then, you know, and then they go back to their lives. And I don't know if we have time, but real quick story. The first, it's called NIL, Name, Image, and Likeness. We pay the student athletes to come up here. And I'm treating these visits as legitimate. I want them to have a good time and all that, and relax and get a break. And cause they're D1 athletes, right? Like they work 16 hours a day, 364 days a year. I want them to relax, but I am recruiting them as workforce. And the first one we did was in June of 2023. It was a Sunday. By Wednesday, one of the athletes, she was a volleyball player. By Wednesday, she texted me and said, I had such a good time. I loved Otter Tail County. Are there any internships I could do while I'm down here at the U? And I was like, that was easy. You know what I mean? Like just creating that curiosity and opening up the possibility of it. That's a victory right now. Is she going to move up here? Not yet. Right. She's going to go chase her dreams and go work where, you know, she wants to work for Adidas or she wants to work for Nike or whatever. Right. But eventually she'd be like, man, I really liked Otter Tail County. I like that pace of life. I'm going to see if there's, you know, we're planting seeds. We're planting seeds with individuals in a transformative manner. And it is literally one at a time.
Is there anything, you guys have tried a lot of different things. I've seen it throughout the years. Anything you felt like just didn't work? Like, cause you know, I think for a lot of listeners, you know, you talk a lot about like, the research from Ben Winchester, Explore Minnesota, we have all this research, but there's very little playbook on the ground manual type stuff, right? Like there aren't a ton of examples out there of what to do. Everybody's trying to figure it out. Has there been anything you guys have tried that just, nope, that didn't work?
That's a really good question, Kelly. That's an awesome question. I'm going to have to process that for a moment. I think, well, here, I'll tell you what didn't work. So this is, it's to your point, we've tried a lot of, I'll say, outside the box things. So when the Super Bowl was in Minnesota, I can't remember what year that was, 2019, 2018, it was Philadelphia versus New England. I can't remember. It doesn't matter. Well, anyways, Explore Minnesota Tourism had a grant that if you started a first time ever event that was Super Bowl related somehow, they would help there was a grant, they would help, you know, with a third, you know, a third of the budget up to a certain amount. So our big idea was to throw a party on the ice. So we got a bunch of tents and we were going to get bands and, you know, it was going to be a music festival on the ice. That's what it was. And we wanted to celebrate Minnesota music. So we had like the four on the, you know, we had the four on the floor. We had Pertnir Sandstone. We had all these, you know, we wanted to celebrate Minnesota. And again, this was supposed to be a first date, right? This wasn't a resident recruitment program. It was more of a tourism program. What we learned is holding a festival in the winter is a bad idea. Cause you know, the first year we had, you know, it was literally 35 below zero and the winds were terrible and I-94 was closed. And then the next year, similar situation. And then the third year we didn't have enough ice. So we had to have it in a parking lot at a hotel. Like, so that's probably our worst idea. It was a good idea, yeah. But it was just so hard to execute and it took so much people power. So the lesson learned is, the lesson learned is it doesn't have to be one big thing, right? Mm-hmm. It's the, what are the three itty bitty things we can do that we can do them every single day, right? It's that consistency, that every single day showing up, putting out good stuff into the world. And eventually that drip, 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 that drip turns the tide. If that makes any sense.
Well, that kind of leads into a question I had. You know, we talked a lot about narrative, right? And a lot of times that's trying to change the narrative that people that don't live here, how they view living here. Mm-hmm. Right? So people in the mm-hmm. Twin Cities or other metropolitan areas. I'd be curious, do you have a feeling or some examples of how all of this work has also led to a narrative change within the residents themselves that actually live in Otter Tail County, right? Because sometimes, you know, I've been in this field a long time too, and I feel like one of our biggest hurdles is getting our own people to understand that they have a good life out here, right? No, or they have preconceived notions of like, you know, I still hear folks being like, oh, we just don't have jobs here. And it's like, oh man, really? Like, that's just not true. So have you seen that tide turn a little bit through this work?
100%. And that's where I think if there's any credit to be given, it is to the region itself, because you're 100% right. There's two narratives. There's the outside narrative or the narrative that the world has about us. And then there's our internal narrative, right? And again, I'll go back to Ben Winchester. The first time I heard Ben Winchester say, nobody's going to move to your town out of pity, I took that to heart, right? Like there's a lot. I've been in meetings where the purpose of the meeting is to talk about what's right about a community. And about 17 minutes into that meeting, we start talking about the good old days. And I'm like, whoa, 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 slow down. That's not, yes, there are issues. Yes, there are problems to be solved, but that's not this meeting. This meeting is about identifying how awesome we are as we sit. Like, I can't predict what we're going to be in the future, and we can't go back in the past. Like, we have to celebrate who we are as a community right now. And so the reason I say that the region deserves the credit is, and I don't even know that we started beating the drum, but once you start beating that drum of positivity, other people start marching to that same beat, right? So we're putting out a positive narrative. Perham is putting out a positive narrative. New York Mills is putting out a positive narrative. Pelican is putting out so now we're not the lone nut. You know, we're not the lone nut screaming from the, we've got a bunch of other people, and that's how, and that's the ripple effect, right? Like our positive, and it, again, yes, there are issues. We do have challenges. There are things we need to fix, but you can't recruit from a negative place. And the last thing I would say about that is we think a lot about rural versus urban, right? And what we have very intentionally not done is we haven't bashed urban, right? Like we have never used fear as a motivator. Like, I love the cities. I love to go to the cities. The cities are awesome. And I think there's a duality there, right? In Minnesota particular, like in the line I like to use is Minnesota has Prince and Paul Bunyan. Like, there's no other place on earth that has that. And so you're 100% right. Controlling our own narrative is almost, you have to do that first, right? Once you can identify a positive narrative internally, that kind of oozes the positiveness externally. You get others to join in the beat, and you don't need to bash a different lifestyle in order to promote your own. You just have to amplify the good stuff that you got going.
Right. I would curious another question kind of related to that. You know, you're countywide and you have what, 7-8 communities?
We like to say 11. I mean, there's officially there's like 22 townships, but there's 11 cities within Otter Tail County that we try to help. Yeah.
Do you feel that you've been able to, were you facing some headwinds when you first started about some skepticism, and then you've had to kind of get people to buy into it? Or do you feel like really the whole county was on board right away and it was easy just because Otter Tail has natural tourism and understands the role they play?
Well, the good question. The thing that the main advantage that we had was a spirit of collaboration. So again, this Otter Tail Lakes Country Association, OTLCA, it existed and it was built on the collaboration of multiple communities, right? And we didn't have to convince communities that, you know, so let's, I'll pick on Pelican Rapids and Fergus Falls. We didn't have to convince Fergus Falls that what's good for Pelican Rapids is good for them too. We didn't have to convince Parker's Prairie that what's good for Battle Lake is good for them too. So there was already this spirit of collaboration. And so that cut down a lot of the having to explain it type of thing, right? And but we still face, you know, some headwinds, I guess you could call it, because the hard part about this is, what are our conversion metrics, right? Like, I don't have a spreadsheet that has 289 names on it that says that these people have moved here because of our efforts, right? So we have to validate our work, if you will, in more of a traditional marketing sense. Like, you know, we have ways to track brand awareness and brand engagement. Did they see our stuff and did they care? And then the did they act? That's the conversion part. That's where it gets a little tricky, right? Like, I can't say that this person moved here because of the stuff we did. It's all anecdotal. So,
yeah. And, you know, some data has shown Otter Tail County has done quite well in terms of its in-migration rates through some of the work that Ben has done, as well as just looking at overall in-migration through the U.S. Census Bureau, which has been great to look at. And I can imagine too, looking at metrics, it's really hard, right? Because Otter Tail County is an older county. Like, there's a lot of older people that live there. You have a lot of folks retiring. And so, you know, a metric saying, hey, we're stable, we're not growing, we're not decreasing our workforce, but that's the key, is like, we're not decreasing, we're just holding, right? And that's a win for a lot of rural areas right now. That's a win,
right?
But that could be a bit of a hard sell, right? Like,
And so for a long time, you know, I think one of the biggest headwinds we faced was, you know, let's say, you know, 2-3 years ago, and we still face this, is, you know, people are exposed to the problem, the issue, right? Resident recruitment, losing workforce, and then they're like, "What are we gonna do? What are we gonna do? What are we gonna do?" And I'm like, we've been doing it for 6 years, dude. Like I don't, you know, so I'm not saying we can claim victory or anything like that, but I feel like once we started metrics, you know, once we started evaluating the metrics we can control and reporting that back to the stakeholders, I hear a lot less, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? You know what I mean? Because at least we're, and here's the thing, fail fast and fail often. Try something and don't throw a big party on the ice, right? Like, I would advise against that. Like, that's, don't do one big thing, but fail fast and fail often. Try, create small steps that you can take and then evaluate those steps. Like, is it work, you know, is this helping or hurting, or is it not doing any, you know? And it again, it's the quantity, not the quality. It's every single day, 365, being a champion for you, your community, cheering your communities on, and trying to amplify that to the world. And I say that because of the World Wide Web, right? WWW, right? Like, it's all on the internet. We're all looking at our phones. Figure out a way, without bashing somebody else, figure out a way to just celebrate who you are and try to share it with the world in a positive way every single day. And right. it's a long game. Again, back to the, do we want to take a long-term approach or a short-term approach? If you want to lose weight, you got to eat right and you got to do push-ups, right? And you can't do 10 push-ups and call it good. You got to do one more push-up every single day for a month, and then you'll start to feel different. And that's the discipline, I guess.
Right. Consistency, you know, consistently pushing these things, consistently talking about it, trying to get everybody on board. Yeah, it's the long game. Absolutely.
Yep.
Well, Eric, hey, thanks a lot for taking the time to chat with us. I really appreciate it. I appreciate the work you guys do. I've always loved Otter Tail County. I grew up, you know, an hour south of there. That was one of the places we would go and play. It was actually on my wife and I's list of potential places to move, but then we kind of fell into New London, Minnesota, another great community. But I've always appreciated Otter Tail and love visiting you guys. So thanks for everything.
Yeah, and thanks for all the work you do, Kelly. Like, without people like you and Ben, I don't exist, right? I owe my career to you guys. So and gals. So keep up the good work and appreciate everything that you guys do too.
You've been listening to the Center of Everywhere podcast, where we explore stories of rural Minnesotans who are making a difference in their communities. Rural isn't in the middle of nowhere. It is in the center of everywhere.